It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word pray to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning, are y'all ready? Are you ready? Our guest this morning is the beautiful powerhouse, Tammy Bailey.
Yay. Glad to be with you, sweet ladies.
I love you so much.
We love y'all. Y'all are the powerhouse.
We all are.
That's right.
We're just a tag team.
That's right.
For the Lord.
Like that. That's right.
And we're not fighting. We're spreading the love.
Amen.
That's what it is.
That's it.
Only God can take someone like me out of a wrestling ring and put me here.
I love it.
And not throat punch anybody.
That's a good day.
Yes, it is. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get it posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Grants Auction and Realty. They don't charge you more. They make you more by itemizing and cataloging all your items. I think I covered it all, sister.
Man, you're good.
Oh, no. I am not.
You said, no.
But
no.
I know who he is.
That's right.
His name is Jesus.
That's right. Praise God. Yeah. Somebody is good. That's right.
Would you please pray to start
us
out?
Yeah, I'd love to. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to just be here on this Monday morning. God, we thank you that even from the foundation of the world, you had already set this day in order. We thank you that everything that's to come to this day is a good thing from you. God, any difficult things we deal with, God, you said that you've already made provision in advance, that we can come around that thing, we can come over it by the power of the Spirit, and that thing will work together for our good in some way. God, we just want to say we love you. We trust you in the process. And God, we just want your will above all. And God, we want you above all. And so today, we just invite you to have your way in this place. We lean into you. Holy Spirit, you're the one who's going to lead us into all truth. I thank you that you came and that you came and live in these imperfect vessels. And you come and you lead us every single moment of our lives. And we want to yield to you, Holy Spirit, right now. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would go before us and open every heart, every mind, every ear, and every eye to receive from you today, to receive the word of the Lord, to receive life today. And Father, I just pray right now that I would not speak on my own authority, but you would come and do your works through me. Hide me in Christ that Christ can be seen and be glorified and have his way in this place today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Okay.
The forgotten abomination,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Well.
That's interesting.
I'm going to have to go back and watch it so that I can get everything because I left my Bible bag in the car. Oh,
okay. Holy Spirit is going to put it on your heart. Okay? He's going to sow these seeds into your heart and he'll bring them to your remembrance, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
He's faithful.
Yeah, even when we don't have our stuff, he's got it. But I know what you mean because I don't want to be without my stuff. So it's important.
I've been feeling this feeling that things is falling apart.
Yeah.
But the Lord is so sweet and faithful.
Yeah.
On my way here, he said, "Child, it just feels like it's falling apart.
Yeah.
But it is falling into place."
Yes. Yes.
And that, so I'm having to take that rhema and hold on to it.
That's right.
And keep walking.
That's right. That's right. That's what you do. You war with the words that God gives you. It says that, I think it was Timothy that he told him to war with the prophecies that he was given. And so these rhema words, even from the Father, they become weapons that we grab a hold of. We put it in our arsenal because there are moments when we don't know how to keep going. Well, we pull that out and we say, "No, Satan, You heard what the Lord said. Mm-hmm. And so you grab a hold of that in war with the enemy. So just hang on, sister. Mm-hmm. All is well. Even when it doesn't look like it, God has everything under control. This is just Amen. The process, yes. right? So trust God in the process. And don't rush the process. Right. Because then you'll come out incomplete, is it? Yeah. You won't be finished, right? So this is a good thing. God's using it for your good. He promises. It may not feel good, but he's using it for your good, Amen. Right? Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to jump into the Word of God today. I love the Word of God. I just love God, and I love his Word. And so I want to just talk today about a forgotten abomination. And I say forgotten because I think it just is not something that I feel like I have I'm going to be straight with you. I don't even know if I've even, you know, when I don't even remember being in church and hearing it taught that this was an abomination. Okay. But I mean, I can remember the topic being talked about, but not necessarily knowing it was an abomination. And, you know, I think about many different things that have been called abominations, and we won't go into all those today because we're focused in on this specific one. And so we know that many times people will stand on corners and cry out, you know, abomination, abomination about different things. And while the word that they're saying may be true, I just find it ironic because we can find ourselves standing on a corner crying abomination about one thing and then committing another abomination behind closed doors. And so it's very important that we really learn to, I think, just open our eyes, or not learn, but God, come and open our eyes and help us to see any place that we might be walking in an abomination that we didn't realize. And so I want to jump right into the Word of God, Micah 7:18. It says, who is a God like you who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious act of the remnant of his possession? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in unchanging love. Ooh, I could just hang on that passage. He delights in unchanging love. What that means is that when my love changes for people, that's not something that delights him. Now, we're human. He knows our frailty, and only he can cause us to have steadfast love for people. But he delights in unchanging love. It just blows my mind. It's so precious. So even in the midst of everything we're going through, only God can do in our heart what needs to be done to cause us to not change in our love for another. Okay? And so, I wanted to start off with that because the abomination we're going to get into is going to begin to talk about love that changes, okay? So I love to delight my Father, and I say, God, if you delight in unchanging love, I want you to come, and I want you to produce in me that unchanging love because I cannot do it in my own self. You're the only one that can. And so I don't want to put any undue pressure on God's people because we cannot change ourselves. It is only God who can do the work in us, amen? And so I want to talk about this this abomination that often gets overlooked. Let's turn to Proverbs 6:16. And I want to start there. It says, these six things does the Lord hate. Yes, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and the one we're going to focus on, the forgotten one, I believe, is he that sows discord among the brethren. That is an abomination to the Lord. See, when we sow seeds of discord, strife, bringing disunity into the body, that is an abomination to him. And so it makes me think about how many times, you know, we hear people stand on corners and declare what is an abomination, and then they go right behind closed doors or step into the church building and they begin to sow discord among the brethren. And that is an abomination to the Lord. In fact, it might be also to stand on a corner and put this on a sign. Okay. So I just think, boy, that'd be good. So not because I'm trying to pick at anybody, because I'm with you. I have sowed seeds of discord among the brethren. I don't believe there's any human that has not done it. And so we've all stepped in this area at some point in our lives. But I believe God wants us to see It is an abomination, and he wants to begin to work in us his heart of unchanging love. Because when discord is sown, all that's happening is the love that we once felt is being shifted into something different. It's changing. We're no longer loving the same, okay? And so so I just want to talk a little bit about that abomination today, the seventh abomination, the sowing seed of discord among the brethren. I think we can all find ourselves frustrated with one another at times. We're human, okay? And if we're human, we're going to have disagreements. We're going to have, just honestly, we're going to have times when we don't even get along with people in the same body, okay? That they get on our nerves, or we just don't, we don't jive with them, whatever you want to call it. And that's because we just are made up of different, God's made each of us different. And at the same time, he calls us to walk together unified. And so, we can find ourselves frustrated. But I think if we'll start to recognize this is a moment where God wants me to keep unity in the body. It's an opportunity to come over the trap that the enemy is trying to lay for us. We can come over that thing and we can keep the unity. It's an opportunity for us. Anytime that thing arises, it's an opportunity for you and I to have unchanging love toward the brethren. It's an opportunity to walk in a way that delights God. And I can only do that as he walks that out through me. So knowing this, that God doesn't just hate discord among the brethren, he calls it an abomination. That means it disgusts him. Okay. It disgusts him. And something that disgusts him, I don't want to be a part of. Yet I have been many times. And you and I can be the very one that is used by the enemy to sow discord among the brethren. And this, if we're not aware of it, we'll get caught up and the enemy will use us because that's how he operates. I think a lot of times we don't even recognize we're being used to sow discord. We don't even know that we've been just duped by the enemy and we got to be the one he used to cause trouble in the body. And it can happen, guys, not just in the church. It happens in families. It happens in our businesses. It happens at our job site. It happens in the school systems. It happens everywhere. Okay. Satan is one who will sow discord anywhere he can. Okay. It's one of his MOs. And so we need to be kind to one another and add kindness to the love of the brethren. In fact, it says in 2 Peter 1, I want to look at that real quick. 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1, verse 5 through 7, it says, beside this, well, in fact, I'll back up to 4. It says, we're given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, the nature of God, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, okay? We need to walk in diligence, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, which also means excellence or praise. And then add to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, which means self-control, and to temperance patience. That means cheerful endurance. Endure those things cheerfully. And we can only do that through the power of the Spirit. And to patience godliness. And this is really, it's also called, the gospel scheme, which I thought was so interesting. And it really means when you put together a program of some sort. It's to know the gospel plan. It's to have a plan of action of how to go out and minister the gospel to those in the world. And so add to godliness, it can also mean piety, obviously, which is holiness. And add to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, agape love. Now, that word brotherly kindness means affectionate love, fraternal affection, okay? It means love between the brethren. And it means affectionate love. And I always thought this was odd, Monica. When I would read that, I thought, shouldn't love be at the very beginning? Like, and add to your faith love? Like, it just seems so, like, you know, like, of course, we would love. I remember when I used to read this and I was first walking with God, I think God got that wrong. You know, like, it don't make no sense because it's like an order. You know, you start seeing things, you're going to add this to that and to this. And it just seems so weird to me that we wouldn't add love to the brethren at the first. But I tell you, it's because as I begin walking in this journey with God and I've gone down the road, I see how hard it is to show affection to the brethren at times. And I see how hard it is to love them selflessly. That's impossible without God. Okay. It's got to be God. And so now, as I've gone further down the road, you know, I go, oh, okay, I get it. Because I thought that I was loving the brethren, but what I was doing was tolerating the brethren, okay? I was tolerating. And hey, that has some good qualities to it. Don't get me wrong. It's good, and I think it's even maturity to learn to tolerate the brethren, okay? You have to learn to tolerate them before you're ever going to love them, amen? And so sometimes we got to learn to just tolerate. And that means we have to learn to keep our mouths closed when our flesh wants to open up and just let all our grievances be known. Sometimes we have to learn to keep our mouth closed, okay? And that takes the work of the Lord in our life, okay? And so, however, God wants us to get to this place where we have not just affectionate love or affectionate kindness toward the brethren, but love, selfless, lay down yourself for another that maybe you don't necessarily get along with all the time. That has got to be God. And so this is what God wants in the brethren. And so I had a situation. Let me say it this way. I had a situation come up, and I want to say it carefully because I never, ever want to say anything that's, I don't know, maybe going to hurt others in any way. Everything I want to do, I just want to honor the Lord and honor my brothers and sisters in Christ. But as a pastor, we so many times deal with these kind of things that come up, and we see it. We see it, Monica. You see it quickly in the body. You go, oh, okay, that was a seed of discord, and I see it. And as a pastor, sometimes we have to deal with it. Sometimes we have to go over there and try to uproot that thing, or we have to go over there and say, you know, help the believer understand that there was just a seed of discord that was sown, okay? And so, but it's all with the idea of, at the same time, keeping the body intact, not wounding the one I got to go and talk to, okay? There is this fine balance. And so, anyway, I've seen this a lot in the body, but I just want to just share with you why God put this in my spirit and begin to show, give me a word on this. Many times in the body, as a pastor, I'll see people complaining in the house, okay? And so it'll just be a little phrase, okay? It's just a little word, and it's just a little something, and it seems harmless, okay? And so I had a situation where someone was complaining in the midst of, not really even a complaint, I would say. It was just a comment, okay? It was just a slight comment not going to be at one of the Bible studies anymore for a while. Just not going to be able to make it to the Bible study anymore. Just made the comment, I'm having a little trouble with the Bible study and I'm not going to be there. Well, it seemed harmless. It didn't seem like any big deal. But immediately I knew what was happening. Every heart in that place, every mind in that place was going, well, why aren't they coming to the Bible study? Why aren't they going to be here on Wednesday night? And so what it was doing was beginning to cause seeds of discord in the brethren. Immediately the question starts arising in their heart. And then before you know it, people are thinking on it, and then they're going to, and then what it does is it leads that person to actually go and begin to say, well, why aren't you coming? I don't understand. And out of love a lot of times, but sometimes it's out of curiosity, and then it begins to open up the next thing. Well, I'm not necessarily agreeing with this teaching, or I don't necessarily like this person's style, whatever. It comes into that. And so then it begins to go even a little bit further. And so, so I saw it, and I knew that it was going to have to be dealt with. And so I'm gonna be honest with you, I was kind of frustrated. It was like, really? Oh, golly, come on. Aren't we going to grow up? You know, like this, we got to walk in maturity. Don't we know these things are of no value to the body, you know? And so, but I knew the person did not do it in any malicious way. Probably didn't even recognize what was happening. But I found myself just a little bit frustrated, you know? And so I was thinking about, okay, I'm going to have to go deal with this. And I was kind of going over how I'm going to deal with it and all that and everything. Well, the very next morning, okay, I kind of had this plan of action, how I was going to handle it. The very next morning I get up, me and my youngest son are in the car. We're getting ready to leave. I was taking him to school, and on our way, we come across a couple that we knew, and I'm not going to go into detail, but they were doing something that was very frustrating, okay? And we knew, and I know this might seem a little confusing because I'm not really blasting what was happening, but I saw it, and I was so frustrated because I knew that they were doing some stuff that was, well, it was just not good. And so I saw them, and immediately I let come out of my mouth, oh my gosh, it's so frustrating, you know, and I just made this comment about, I can't believe they're doing that again. I mean, oh my gosh. And so I started saying this, and then immediately my, you know, my son's in the car and he heard it. He looked up, he saw it, and he knew because it was something we had been aware of before. And so then he started saying something. I can't remember what he was saying, but he just began to express his frustration. And immediately I heard that scripture in Romans 2 that says, oh, how does it say it? In fact, I want to read it. It says Romans 2, 1. I heard it in my spirit came up. It said, therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whosoever you are that judgest, for wherein you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you that judge are doing the very same things. And it just, I said, whoa, it was the Holy Spirit. I stopped myself. I said, oh my gosh. I didn't even realize I had sown a seed of discord in my son's heart. And I had been used to do that and didn't even catch it. I said, oh my goodness. So I repented and I told my son I was sorry, it was wrong. And I just began to address that. I went to the Lord and the Lord began to do a work in my heart and began to say, Tammy, you cannot, you're judging another and you did the very same thing. And I said, Lord, I didn't even recognize this is how this happens. And so we're going to break this down a little more to see how this is happening in our lives. But a lot of times the very thing that we're complaining about another, we're actually doing in another way. And so he said, stop judging others and then doing the same thing. And I said, okay. Yes, sir. I get it now. So the Lord corrected me and he began to show me that I too was sowing seeds of discord among the brethren. And he said, Tammy, I delight in unchanging love. And so as I began to seek the Father on this, he began to reveal, this is an abomination to me. And I had forgotten it, okay? Because it's not one that we often think about. And as I begin to go deeper, he began to give me a revelation, girl, change my life, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3. Woo-wee, boy. I mean, I'm still just blown away by what God opened my eyes to here. Genesis 3, starting in verse 1, we know this is the story of Adam and Eve, and God began to open my eyes about something here. In fact, he began to say, he said, Tammy, do you know why I hate, do you know why I call sowing seeds of discord among the brethren an abomination? He said, because I don't just hate it, I'm disgusted by it. He said, because it was the very sin that Satan used to bring discord between him and Adam and Eve. It was the same seed. And I said, oh, okay, it was the same tool. He used the same thing. So we're going to see that. Let's look at verse 1. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, here he is. Okay, it's just this, a harmless comment, the power of suggestion. Hey, has God said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, well, we can eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened and they knew they were naked. And we're going to stop there with it. But what I want us to begin to look at is I want you to see the process of what happened here. See, I never caught this before. But the Lord said, Tammy, what happened here? He said, if you notice, he said the first thing was a comment, okay? It was just a harmless comment. All that Satan did was put a thought into Eve's mind. It was just getting her wheels to turning, okay? So what he said what he'll do, what the enemy will do, and he does this every day in our lives, is a little harmless comment is made that is enticing us into a deeper conversation, okay? See, when that comment that I was talking about a second ago, a lot of times, for example, let me give an example, another example. You're getting ready for the Christmas program at church, and then you're helping out with the decorations, and you come along, and you there's a lady that you know that's so good at decorating, and you say, "Hey, you want to help us decorate?" And she says, "Oh no, done that, and I ain't doing it again. I ain't welcome there." And she just makes a slight little comment, and it's like, what? You don't know anything about this, but that comment then entices you to come in deeper. Well, what do you mean? Like, does something happen? Immediately you start questioning what's going on. Why did you, do I want to do this now? Like, what? And so it's an enticement to get you involved into a deeper conversation. That's how the enemy operates. Okay. So he brought, got her thinking and enticing her to come into a deeper part of the conversation. And then when she comes into the conversation, then he can sow even more seeds of discord. And so then look at verse 6, and it says, when the woman saw, okay? So what I want you to see here is the very first thing that's changed is Eve's perspective, okay? The first thing it does is changes the way she sees things, okay? Her view of God and the situation is changed, okay? So her, if not dealt with, guys, if not dealt with, see, immediately when someone says, well, you know, I don't really like coming and listening to that teacher. The first thing that's changed is your view about that teacher. You immediately stop and you start thinking about it. Like, okay, should I be thinking something different about this teacher? Like, all of a sudden, guess what happens? Something gets in your heart. You're not saying anything. You're not doing anything. It's in your heart. All of a sudden, you're starting to question another person. Okay, Eve's perspective about God began to be shifted. You see, I don't think she immediately ate that apple. I think she was thinking on this for a while. It does not really go into detail. If it does, help me, you know, I might have missed it. I didn't go over this in detail, but I think there was some time she probably chewed on this. I think there was a seed that got into her heart and it began to germinate, okay? And she began to think on it, her perspective. What happened was a division came between her and God. Now she began to question God. She began to doubt God. She wasn't quite sure about God, and it was in her heart where it began to change. So the first thing that changes with her is her perspective, okay? So the first thing that that the enemy will do when he sows the seed of discord, which it'll come through another person, is your view of the person that is being, or the situation that is being talked about will be changed, okay? Number two, it'll begin to change your behavior. It says, first she saw that the tree was good for eating, okay? And then she began to actually change her behavior. She ate of the tree. Okay, so now she didn't just think on it, she actually began to change in her behavior. And then if you go on, the third thing that happened was she invited Adam to come along with her. Now this is how the seed of discord begins to germinate, bloom, and bear, and bring forth fruit, okay? It will begin as a change in perspective about that person, then it will begin to be changed in your behavior. All of a sudden, you're not the same toward that person. Now maybe you're not as friendly. Maybe you start to change in the way you handle yourself toward that person, act toward that person. It's a slight change, but it's a change nonetheless. And then you will begin to sow the same seed in someone else. You'll begin to talk about it. You'll begin to question. You'll talk to someone else. You know, I just don't know. I've just been kind of noticing this. And all of a sudden, you're bringing someone along with you, and they come with you, and they take of the discord, the seed of discord, and it begins to work in them. And do you see how this goes? It goes on and on and on and on. It keeps reproducing discord among the brethren. Discord is just strife. It's disunity. You know what it makes me think about is when we're disharmonized, okay? When someone is singing and someone comes along and sings with them in harmony, it's beautiful. And you're like, oh, that's beautiful. But if someone comes in and they're bless their heart, they don't know how, they don't have maybe the gift of singing. I love still hearing somebody who doesn't, you know, sing, but when they come in and they sing with another person, there's no harmony. And so it almost is, it kind of grates against the ears because it's not, it doesn't set right. Okay. That's discord among the brethren. And so, and we're going to get ready to pray in here in a minute, but I want to, we'll kind of come up, wrap this up for this section here. So what happens is when we have this, this discord that's sown, before long, we'll act on that discord, and it'll be the very tool that the enemy uses to separate the body. Okay. And so the Lord revealed to me every time that we give in to temptation to slander another person when someone else can hear it, we're doing the very thing Satan did to Eve. God said, Tammy, you are letting Satan operate through you. He said, he's coming in the house of God, not blatantly, not openly, but through another brother. He comes in through the power of suggestion. And then, see, the person who was in that house that was, you know, frustrated because of that they had been wounded or something through the Christmas play and they put the decorations together and all that, it first started with a thought. Their heart started to turn away from their brother and sister. And then before you knew it, it came out of their mouth. And then it began to sow in someone else's heart and they began to turn others away from that person. Okay. And this is how that operates, guys. And so the Lord said, remember that every seed is going to, it gets into a heart and begins to produce something. Okay. Now it doesn't always come and bear and bring forth fruit, but if it does, it will bear that which is sown. And so Satan is working to do the same thing, to sow a seed into our heart that'll bear discord among the brethren. And so, listen, his tactics haven't changed. Okay. What he was doing to Adam and Eve, he's still doing. And in fact, he said, you know what? I don't even have to do anything, Monica. He said, all I got to do is go into the house of the Lord. I got to just suggest something, put something in their mind. He said, I'm going to sit back and watch because they'll implode within. He said, they will go in and do my dirty work. They'll go in and tear the body down. I won't have to do nothing. You see, this is how Satan operates. This is his plan. And this is an abomination unto God. And so so the Lord began to show me that I was actually being used of the devil and I didn't even know it. It was as if Satan himself came and operated through my life. And so he was doing the same work. He came in through a serpent in the garden, but now he's coming in through men and women of God. He's using them to do his dirty work. And so the Bible says that that if we're not careful, we'll even cause the person next to us to sin. See, I'm going to cause so-and-so or Sally over here when I start airing my grievances. Now Sally's heart is beginning to change. Now Sally's thinking on this thing. Now Sally's getting incensed. Now Sally's getting upset about it. Now Sally's starting to act different and to so-and-so. And now Sally begins to change and speak the same thing to the next person. And she does the same thing. And it is a cycle. And we're operating in the, we're really falling into the trap of the enemy, saints. And so we'll come back in a minute and kind of dig a little deeper into why Satan does this. But this is the forgotten abomination that is happening every day in the body of Christ. And it ought not be. Amen. Amen.